You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work. Friends, family, expect you to be on 24/7? Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
He touched it himself. Look at him, Kirk, back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope. Chiefs. Our Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points and our friends at Blue Wire. I'm your host, Blake Bubble. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, and we are back here for the first of our always enjoyable four-part series here as we make our mock draft. We make all of our picks for the first round of the 2021 NFL Draft. Dylan, we did this last year. It was a lot of fun. We added some creativity. We made some trades. I think we actually nailed a couple of them, I want to say.
Yes.
Last year. So we actually did a pretty good job of that, although you and I were talking before we started recording. I think this year's a lot harder to kind of get a gauge on where things are going to go. So we may not have as many trades this year when it comes to us, but I do think we may still have one up our sleeve when it comes to early on in this 2021 draft. So it should be interesting. This was a fun exercise last year. We did a pretty good job overall trying to make those picks. I want to say, was it the I think I made a trade with the Bucks moving up or something for
– Yeah.
I don't remember, but we hit on a couple of them last year, and so we'll see if we get them right this time around. I think it's going to be much harder to predict this time around.
Yeah, we had the Bucks trading up to draft an offensive tackle, just not the tackle that they ended up taking with right. Dedrick Wills. But, no, overall, I mean, like we nailed a lot of the picks. We did have the Dolphins trade up to get Tua, whereas they were able to sit in number five and still get him. We still had the Lions getting Akuda and this Herbert to the Chargers. So, yeah, looking down the first round, there were some misses, but they're slight. Like things where, you know, teams ultimately got – guys of the similar positions that we thought they're going to go for. And like you're saying, it's a little tougher this year in terms of not knowing. There's just, that's the thing is we'll get to. We haven't decided on a trade that might happen in these first eight picks because it's just a lot of uncertainty of a couple teams that seem like they might be ready to trade up there possibly to the after those first three picks that are kind of set. I don't think the Niners at this point, no reason to trade up and trade back. So I think the intrigue for in terms of a possible trade starts moving on from the number four pick backwards. And then depending on who's left and what teams need quarterbacks, another, you know, even deeper for these first eight picks that we're going to do today, we could see a trade as well.
Well, let's just full transparency here. I have put you in the unenviable spot. I think I am taking the number one, number three, number five, number seven picks. You're going to get 2, 4, 6, 8. This is how we did it last year. We alternated picks. I think we probably did a coin toss last year.
I think this is fitting because last year I had the number one pick, so yes. It only makes sense that we alternate now.
There you go. So that makes sense. I mean, we both had pretty much no-brainers number one. So at least we're trying to keep some sort of symmetry there when it comes to how we're going to make our picks. All right, we're not wasting any more time. let's jump into it. We're really not going to spend much time on the first one because with the number one pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to take Trevor Lawrence, and that's pretty much that. I don't really think there are any surprises. No one's trading up for the number one pick. There's not going to be any swerves. Urban Meyer is going to get his quarterback, and then I think it's just a matter of seeing what the Jaguars do to surround him with talent here moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, props to Gardner Minshew for one last shot at it. With he had a couple of pictures that went viral this past weekend of him really just showing the ultimate quarterback there with those picks. But no, I think Trevor Lawrence is obviously the easy selection here. That there's no really question about this. As we've talked about and or a lot of people talked about, this is like the most consensus number one pick probably since Andrew Luck, in terms of just everyone figuring out that he'd be the guy that would go in this spot. So for the Jaguars, like you're saying, the intrigue for them starts with what they're able to do building around him, how they are able to draft and how they develop some of the real, because they have such a young roster at this point, but developing the guys they do have with this new coaching staff will be really interesting to watch this year.
Well, we talked about how easy it was to come up with the number one pick. This may be a pretty quick episode here. We may you know, kind of move through these pretty fast, although I think we're going to slow it out a bit here in a couple picks. But
yeah.
Number two pick, I mean, really, you know, it feels somewhat similar when you think about it. If we just talk about all the noise and all the thoughts surrounding it. So where are you headed with number two?
Yeah, with the Jets, obviously with Sam Darnold traded, even if they hadn't traded him, still felt like they're going to be drafting their quarterback of the future. And whether or not, you know, anyone thinks that maybe Justin Fields or some other quarterback could have still in their minds be the second best prospect, by all indications, I'm not going to change this up, the Jets are taking Zach Wilson as their QB. He has really, you know, in terms of, this is a guy, we kind of talked about this right at the end of the offseason, there's always one or two quarterbacks that, you know, aren't considered top one, top two picks that end up dramatically rising. We saw it with Baker Mayfield, and here was Zach Wilson, kind of a similar rise in terms of, you know, he had obviously a fantastic season, but a guy that, you know, even just looking back to beyond the 2020 season, going back before that, he wasn't really anyone you thought about at all, that on at least on this scale of being a first-round quarterback, a guy that had obvious talent, but not someone that we saw dramatically rise up. I guess you could say the same for Joe Burrow, though, with how he went from not, you know, a huge prospect to one of the best college seasons we've ever seen. Not saying that Zach Wilson is going to be Joe, but nonetheless, a lot of upside for this guy, and I think the Jets, even though another fan base, again, was very disappointed by those victories and being unable to get Trevor Lawrence, I think they'll at least maybe a little more cautiously go into the Zach Wilson regime in terms of what they just saw happen with Sam Darnold. But, you know, new head coach, new coaching staff, a lot of offensive minds that come over from the Shanahan tree. And, yeah, excited to see what they're able to do with Wilson. Unlike the Jags, we have already seen, you know, in terms of all the moves they've made in the free agency, we saw them, you know, with Corey Davis, Keelan Cole, Tyler Kroft. They've worked on their offensive line. So, I mean, they've already kind of addressed some things. Still a lot of work to be done, but I think Wilson steps into a much better situation than Sam Darnold did 3 years ago in New York.
All right. Here we go.
This is a big one.
This is where the draft sort of begins for everyone, and we say that every year with some of these picks because, like we said, we do feel like it's pretty pretty no-brainers when it comes to number one and number two with Lawrence and Wilson there heading to their respective spots. But the 49ers are the team that made the big splash in terms of moving up to get this number three pick, obviously signaling that they have a specific quarterback in mind, or they would just be happy with any of the quarterbacks that are there. But I think it's pretty clear that they probably have someone in mind. Now, let's remember, we are drafting these as if we were the person making the pick here, all right? We're not necessarily trying to predict what they're going to do at times, uh-huh. But it's a little bit of that, too. Like, it's sort of a balancing act, right? There's no perfect science to how we're doing this, but, like, again, we do think these are going to be the picks, but we also are putting ourselves in that spot and saying, okay, if we add some of our own opinion to it based on what we've seen, what we look at, research, all this other stuff, you know, what would we do with this specific pick? So before we do, look at this suspense. This is great. Plus podcasting 101. So if it were you, Zach Wilson at number two, like if you take the whole everything else out of the equation, would you pick Zach Wilson at number two?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Like in terms of like what, so regardless too. Of just thinking the Jets would do it or not.
Right.
I also, I don't know. I mean, like as I kind of mentioned, I didn't mention Lance. It was really Fields for me as the guy that I was potentially still. I'm not maybe as low as some people have kind of become with the last couple of months. Thought he really performed really well in the pocket with, you know, a lot of great competition. So, but yeah, I still, at the end of the day, I think when you look at what Wilson's done, there's a reason he's garnered so much attention and is the consensus number two pick at this point.
All right. We've waited long enough. The number three pick, the San Francisco 49ers are not going to trade it. They're not going to move. They are going to select Justin Fields.
I think he is.
Listen, again, I don't know. We've heard all this noise, right, about Mac Jones and all this, and they're in love with him. They love everything about him, all this other stuff. How many times have we heard this before in drafts where you get all the momentum leaning one way, and then all of a sudden it's somebody a little bit different? Now, we have more access than ever when it comes to, you know, rumors and everything like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, they're spot on. But other times, I think you hear a guy talked up so much that I'm like, you sort of look at what's there. And to me, I don't know, man. It's a tough call. I'll say that. Like, it's a tough call in terms of what they're going to do. For me, I think it's probably like 51-49 in terms of what I think that they could do here and which one of these two guys they could take. I would take Justin Fields. I just think that he is someone – look, he's not the prototypical Kyle Shanahan quarterback, but I think some of the points that people have made is if you're done with Jimmy G, like, what are the comparisons with Mac Jones and Jimmy G? Like, do you feel like there are some of the things there that are – there are some similarities when it comes to their specific style? Like, I think some people have sort of tried to make that point. Fields is different. Like, it's a different dynamic. It's probably, what, unlike anything we've seen from Kyle Shanahan in terms of the quarterbacks he's worked with.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is interesting. But I don't know, man. Like, do you think they move all the way up to three to get Mac Jones? Like, that's
no.
The only question I have. And so that's what makes me wonder a little bit about them moving up that far to get Mac Jones when I think Mac Jones probably – you know, I don't know. Like, I think it's interesting. I don't know if they had to move up that far to get Mac Jones. So that makes me wonder, is this going to be one of those things where, despite a lot of the noise in that direction, maybe it winds up being Fields?
Yeah, there's a lot of mock drafts out there and speculation that even Trey Lance is a guy that they would consider. You're talking about the system in terms of what he ran there, a lot of the play action kind of run centric scheme. But I don't think, I mean, that's the thing about Shanahan, and it applies to McVay and a lot of these offensive coordinators, you know, turn head coaches now in the minds from that Shanahan tree. I think it's a lot of adaptability there. I don't think that's we saw it even with at the end of the year with the Rams. So it's not like, depending on who they have under center, they're not going to adjust to. And I think that could be something that's exciting for Shanahan and for the Niners. And with Fields, yeah, I can't talk about, you know, obviously a great system, but obviously also I think still solid offensive line, solid group of skill players. So fits right in, really. And I don't think that in terms of the system, that's really a concern, like you're saying, though, for Mac Jones. I don't know if it's a complete smokescreen. Like, it's hard to say in terms of – but in terms of, like, the amount of noise, you're right. It does seem a little – it feels like some times in the past where you're trying to keep the – send off what you're really doing. And like you said, they didn't really probably have to move up that far, not all the way up to three to get Mac. And maybe we'll be proven wrong. Maybe after last year, we got the first, I think, five of the first six picks correct. I don't know. This could be the point this is where it gets tough here in this one. And even as we keep going, but if I were you in that number three spot, as we kind of talked about before, and he's really only other guy I really consider number two would be Field. So I would do the same thing here.
Well, and I get it. I mean, the Mac Jones thing. And look, everyone's going to compare Mac Jones to Tua just because they played, you know, in the same system. They had similar weapons to work with. You know, I mean, we're going to talk about Tua. I mean, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, like, they're going to go in our top 15 probably. So it's like, you know, those are some of the things, too, that I think you have to look at. And I don't know. I just think this offers the 49ers a bit of a different dynamic. And as we've seen, this is sort of that direction we've seen the league go in with some of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Unless they are just surefire, 100%, you know, guys that you know can be maybe that prototypical, traditional-type quarterback with the arm and all this other stuff, I just feel like Fields, you know, he adds that extra dynamic. He adds another layer in terms of what he can do with his legs. So, I don't know.
And if anything, they didn't use him with his legs as much as they probably could have, and that's what's something that could be exciting for his prospects in the NFL. So,
yeah, that's true. All right, well, there starts the course of the rest of our top eight, and this is where I think, you know, we're very intrigued by the Niners at three, but I also think there's a lot of intrigue around number four, knowing that at this point, all, you know, we would be shocked if we're not saying there's three quarterbacks that have been taken thus far in the top three. I think it's going to be quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Now I think where the Falcons go becomes a little bit more of a mystery here.
Yeah, and in terms of the picks that have been made, I mean, really that's what's fun about as we get deeper into these mock drafts. At the top of it, it's like, yes, I know, we know who's going to go 1-2 in this case. But now that the results really change what could happen here, and that's why I don't think we're going to see if the Falcons, I know they've been rumored to be trying to trade out of the number four spot, but I think they're just trying to drum up as much interest as they can. And I think maybe if Justin Fields dropped to four, I feel like maybe they just end up holding on and feel like that's their quarterback of the future. So, but if they have enough interest again, now with Fields gone, in terms of who they, I don't know if they're going to take Mac Jones, Trey Lance, I suppose, but maybe a team that's not going to take a chance there as much in terms of Lance kind of reminds me a bit, you know, going back to the amount of potential that was seen in Josh Allen, but still a lot of things had to go right to get to where we were in 2020 with his performance. He's not as big as Josh, but in terms of just the raw talent that you see and what could be molded well, that's why I thought maybe the Niners even could have been interesting, but nonetheless, the Falcons, I don't think they go there. In terms of the skill players and guys that they would consider, I think Kyle Pitts is one name that keeps coming up for the Falcons at four.
Yeah.
But I think just for – in terms of the intrigue here, and I think that interest is really going to be real now that, you know, if a team really wanted Mac, a team really wanted Lance, they could trade up here at number four with enough ammo. And so there's two teams that I believe would be in play here. One, the Broncos, they're at number nine. Do they feel like they can wait that long now? With the Panthers obviously trading, they have the number eight pick. They traded for Sam Darnold. Don't think the Lions are quite there in terms of being ready to draft a quarterback. They could, but I think they might be a team that maybe next year that's more likely we're looking for them. And the Bengals and Dolphins, by all indications, unless the Dolphins trade for Deshaun Watson, and that's still obviously everything's up in the air there. I think the Bengals and Dolphins are two teams you're looking at that are drafting quarterbacks. So maybe the Broncos feel good about staying at number nine and getting one of those two guys. Now the Patriots at 15, not feeling so great. There's a lot of different things that could happen in between here and there. Maybe they don't, again, some of the teams in front of them, will the interest be enough? Oh, man, I'm so close to just saying the Patriots, knowing Belichick. I know he's made, you know,
look,
I think
they're on a tear. Like, they're making moves. They're not waiting around for anything. So if this is the year they're going to do something like this, I think it's, like, this is spot on because
– Yeah, exactly. It fits with the strategy and the attack, the plan of attack this year. And, I was going to say just before we – I think right when we were recording, Field Yates tweeted that the Patriots have made the most draft day trades of any team in the NFL since 2000, 82 over 61 versus the next closest by the Eagles. Now, a lot of the time, they're the team trading back. But like you're saying, I think this is the time where they finally trade up. So we'll get the New England Patriots. I don't know the exact package. I'd have to look at all their picks. But I'm sure the Falcons wouldn't do this unless they got a decent haul because, I mean, to move back that many picks – the Falcons, maybe we'll see as we go through this, could possibly move up further, again, to get one of those kind of top-tier guys like a Kyle Pitts here. You look at it, and he'd be a huge difference maker for them. But, I think the Patriots will just give them enough. And now, who do they draft between the two?
Yep.
The two guys that, at least for the most part, are considered the most likely here with the number four pick. Man, it's tough because like you're saying, it's a little bit of who do we think they would take themselves?
Yeah.
Who do we think would be the pick that we would want? Like for me, it might be Trey Lance, and I know that I have a little more of a feeling that Mac Jones would be the guy they ended up taking, but if they're trading all the way up, maybe it's for the talent. So I'll go Trey Lance. I don't know what you think about that. If you think it should be. This is one I'm going to end up regretting. I feel like when this trade happens, I'm going to be like, oh my God, they actually did it. They traded up to four, and then they end up taking Mac, and then it's all, I had it all right there for the taking, and I end up going the wrong way. We'll see.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think it's really hard to project with these three in particular, with Fields, Lance, and Mac Jones. Like, I think it's – I could not even – if you asked me to place a bet on everything I own right now to try to figure out the order that these three are going to go in, there's no way. Like, I would just go ahead and say, all right, here, take everything I have. Like, because there's no way I'm going to get this right. Because I honestly feel like this is such a hard thing to know what order those three are going to go in. You know, because I don't know, because I think, look, we know the Bengals aren't taking a quarterback at five. So, you know, that two of these guys are probably, well, you know, if the Falcons stay though, I mean, that's the thing. I think if the Falcons stay, that's right. And if Fields is there, I'm with you. I think they would take Fields, but if Fields is not there, I don't know that they take Mac Jones or Trey Lance. And so, boy, that's this is an interesting dynamic. Like you said, if we get this right, like we're just gonna this podcast is gonna become a mock draft podcast year round, because I don't think anyone probably has a really good feel on where this could go, because like you said, if it's the Patriots, maybe it's the Broncos. I feel pretty good though. It's probably gonna be one of those two. If you do have a trade here, I think it's one of those two. So we'll see. But I mean, the Panthers have gotten their quarterback now. That was one of the teams we thought could factor into the mix, but, like, they're in good shape. So, I don't know. I think it's a tough call. Something tells me that I think the Patriots would probably take Mac Jones just because of the Alabama
ties. Yeah, see, that's kind of what I was thinking. I feel like they would do that.
Yeah. That's my thing.
That's not what we're doing necessarily.
Right. No, exactly. We're picking who we think – we're adding a little bit of both. We're saying if the Patriots are going to – get a quarterback at four, that's the consensus. Okay, well then we're going to make the choice as to which quarterback they should take. So that's kind of what we did with the 49ers. Like, we know they're taking a quarterback. If it was us, we're going to take the quarterback that we feel is the best, you know, pick in that spot. So, because too, it's about value. We got to remember that too. Like, it's value here, because you know, the 49ers gave up some stuff to move up to three, and so it's like, okay, long term value wise, and then we're talking about the Patriots and all that. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's a bad pick at all with Trey Lance. I'm very curious. I tend to lean towards them taking Mac Jones if they make this move. But, again, I'm not going to bet on this order of these three, because I don't know what order they're going to go in.
So. Yeah, it's tough, man. I do think, like you said, like we kind of talked about Fields, if he drops here, feels like he's the pick. In terms of the order, it could go anyway, but I feel like Fields maybe still will end up being the first of the three. Then between Lance and Jones, though, it's not only just unsure of those two in the order, but also where they're going to go, how far they could drop, and if they've not really that far, I don't think, really, at the end of the day, but it depending on how far they drop, a team didn't even really think about at first just because they weren't in those top 15 picks, but Washington, definitely a team that I could see if Lance, say I took Jones and then Lance was sitting there at eight, maybe they would be a team that could be interested in trading up for him over, say, the Broncos there at nine. But, oh, man, I don't know. It's tough. And this, as we kind of talked about this on a previous podcast, this just works out so well for the Bengals and Dolphins these next couple of picks now. They get these guys that are true number one, number two talents, and they're sitting there at five and six.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If I'm the Bengals – like, I'm using this entire 15 minutes just to sit back and sort of kick my feet up and just really enjoy things, because they honestly, I don't think they can go wrong here. Like, they've got I think they've got three choices that they can absolutely not go wrong with, and that would be Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle, Kyle Pitts, or Ja'Marr Chase. I think any of those three would all fit very well with the Bengals. Like, because, again, what you're doing in that is what? You're giving Joe Burrow strength at a position. And so I think any way they go in with those three, I think they'd be fine. For me, I feel like if they're in this scenario, if Joe Burrow is going to have a little input here, I think he's going to go with the guy that he probably has already played with and, you know, set some records with in college. So I'm going to go Cincinnati Bengals with the number five pick. I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase here. I feel like it's just one that's too – I don't know. Like, I get it. Like, Burrow's probably thinking, I'd love to have a lineman, you know, like Sewell in there, and that'd be great. But I just don't think they're going to pass up that opportunity in this scenario, because there are people who have made the case that Ja'Marr Chase, you know, could very well, outside of Trevor Lawrence, like he's the second best player in this draft if you look long term at that position, wide receiver. So I don't feel like they could pass that up. I think that's something that's too falling in their laps there. You know, most people I think believe Chase is the best wide receiver in this draft. I think Jalen Waddle probably pretty close. For some reason, I think Waddle's injury, people sort of forget just maybe how great he is.
100%.
But I'm going to pick Ja'Marr Chase. I think the connection's too simple to make there. And even though, again, I don't think they go wrong with any of those three, I just feel like, you know, the Burrow-Chase connection is something that they could really lean on there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've kind of talked, and I've always kind of been like on Sewell or even another offensive lineman in this spot just for, you know, the importance of building up that line with, you know, obviously some big struggles last year, not just from the injury, but all, just in general, how much pressure was getting to Joe. But it is a position that if you do develop and draft well, you know, in other rounds of the draft, and they still have so many picks, I don't think it's something they can't fix deeper, whereas it's just the allure of that connection, but also just Ja'Marr Chase's overall talent that is hard to ignore. They already have some solid, you know, skill position guys otherwise that aren't necessarily number one. So you add this, and you possibly have a superstar receiver for years to come teamed up with a guy that he already has so much chemistry with. I do think I may have ultimately, if you give me this fifth pick, I may have convinced myself in real time to go the same way. It is too fun to think about. It doesn't work out well for at number six with the Dolphins, as we get to that in a second here, because I do think that's the one guy they're really hoping that if they can get him in Miami, I think they'd have a hard time passing up at number six.
Yeah, I think so too. So that's where I think that does affect the Dolphins, whereas, you know, if the Bengals were to take – you know, let's say the Bengals took Sewell, then I think the Dolphins, they're sitting pretty. They're kicking back with their feet up saying, all right, we got Chase, we're good. So, you know, and I mean, but they also have the option too, I guess, and we'll see where you go. But, you know, they have the option with Waddle to connect him with, you know, his former quarterback.
Yep.
So there's lots of connections there. But we know this before. Like, there was someone last year, I feel like we said this with, someone, it was one of those scenarios, but they went the opposite way. Like, you can factor in those things, but NFL, like, they don't, you know, it's not always let's just connect these guys that play together in college. So I think the Bengals, you know, they might necessarily go this route, but I think it's one. Chase to me is so good that it's not just a Burrow thing. I think he's of all the quarterbacks, like, once you get the run of quarterbacks, I think he's the second best player on the board. So I feel like, to me, in that scenario, if I'm the Bengals, I see a lot of value there adding that connection. So I'll take Chase number five. That does take us to the Dolphins with number six. Makes your decision a little bit harder here, because I think when you look at the Dolphins, you know, wide receiver, like, they want to go wide receiver, but I also think tight end, they, you know, you got another guy there that's, I don't know that he's not the second best player in this draft. So, that, you know, I don't think the Dolphins are in a bad spot, even if Chase is
no. I don't think they're in a bad spot. They still, similar to the Bengals and the team that I, you know, they definitely need to improve their offensive line. They still have the two, you know, two or three of the top offensive line prospects here. Obviously, Sewell, Rashawn Slater is a guy that, and a lot of these mock drafts and big boards and everything is mentioned as, in some cases, with scouts saying that they think Slater will end up going before Sewell. So there's, you have two, you have those guys left, obviously, as you said, and I agree that I think Waddle's prospects have just, people forget how such a big play player that he can be, and his overall talent is insane. And, but Devontae Smith is still someone that I can't really get off thinking that he might be the guy that they end up going with. I think he's still, I know he got hurt in the national title game, and a guy that obviously those, his performances in those last two games pumped him up even more. But I really do think that, I mean, he's longer than his, I mean, he's only 6'1", but he's such long arms. He's really a huge target for a guy that's only 6'1". His ability to, you know, in terms of quickness and his route running and all those kind of things that are going to be so important at the next level. I just see him as a guy that is going to be able to adapt quickly in terms of being able to get open. But, oh man, Kyle Pitts. It's like, so for me, it's between, I'm just going to, it might be clear now as I go through this thought process. I think Pitts for me and Smith are the two that I'm considering the most. Man, Kyle Pitts is obviously such a versatile tight end that can, you know, basically do anything you want. Also going to be just an upside in terms of his ability in the run blocking game. I think he's a huge dude, and you refine some of his blocking skills, he's going to end up being just fine there over time. But it's really his allure as a pass catcher. The comparisons you see, Darren Waller, obviously the guy that came out of nowhere, unlike Pitts, who was going to be drafted in the at some point in these first 10 picks easily, I believe, if not right here. So his ability, his length, it's like, man, they really can't go wrong with the two. Man, it's tough. And I, as much as the offensive line, I think they maybe take a similar approach in terms of, we're going to be able to fix this up with, and, developing is such a big part of offensive line play. It can be a receiver as well, but offensive line play, just having the coaches, you can really get guys second, third, fourth rounds and develop them into some of the best offensive line that we know in the NFL. They're not all first round picks. There are a lot, but I just think they can't pass up on the playmaking skills of these two at the end of the day. Oh man, I'm going to go with Devontae Smith. I'm just still on that train, still believe in his route running, his ability, what he can do. We got another connection of a college quarterback with his receiver here now. I think Pitts would have been a great pick too and would have been really fun to watch in Miami, but I think this is the route that ultimately, it's a mix of what I would do for them, but I don't know. It's a tough one because I think now it's like, I don't know how, as we go on, it's going to be hard to keep passing on Pitts at this point.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not picking him at number 7. So it's going to be on you at number 8 because, that's the thing. I think we said this last year, although we didn't have as many situations. When we make these trades and that kind of stuff, you're going to see one guy that sort of falls down a bit. Because, when we talk about as many quarterbacks as we think that potentially there could be moves to get all of these quarterbacks in the first 5, 6, 7 picks, that sends one of these guys down the board that you think has no reason to go down the board. But in this scenario, I could see Kyle Pitts going further down here, like you said. I can't say that I would be shocked if the Dolphins do what you just did and pick, Devontae Smith, or if they're Jalen Waddle. I can't say I'd be shocked with that either. That's an interesting thought because at 7, if I'm the Lions, I'm running to the board here. I'm picking Penei Sewell. I know it's not it's one of those where the Lions are, they're basically starting over here. And we talk about value and all that. You mentioned, you can develop offensive line, but if you also have a surefire guy that you think could be there for 10 years, that's a pretty easy choice, I think, especially at number 7. So I think that's where the Lions should go. I know it's very interesting. People have talked about them maybe quarterback too. Maybe they, I don't know. I know they have Jared Goff now, but maybe there's something there for them. I just don't see that as a scenario. I don't know why that's even been mentioned. I get it. Maybe they're not looking at Jared Goff as a quarterback 5 years from now, but I think offensive linemen, that would be very hard for them to pass up, even if it's not one, knowing that, guys like Pitts and Waddle and those guys would still be on the board here. I don't know. I just think that's the best value pick for the Lions in that spot.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. He's going to be perfect for what they need. And like you said, you can develop. But when you get these surefire guys, and Sewell's just one that you feel like he's going to be there for, years and years. There's so much confidence in what he's going to be able to do long-term in the middle of your offensive line to really shore things up. And interior pressure, obviously I don't think the Lions are really thinking about just this season. But in terms of Jared Goff, and like any quarterback really, but especially guys that are more of the kind of traditional pocket passer setup, the interior pressure is the way to destroy what they want to do. And I think having a guy like Sewell in there to really – solidify that for a long period of time. It's going to be such a key foundational piece for the long term, like you're saying, with the skill guys. Yes, obviously there's some great talent still available, but in terms of what they're going to be able to do, they're looking at a long-term approach here, and maybe those guys are going to be great playmakers early on. It might not make a bigger difference if you don't get the infrastructure really fixed up. I think even though the Bengals are definitely further behind than the Dolphins, but both those teams maybe are in a little bit of a different phase here than Detroit. Detroit still, I hope Jared has a solid season there, but I just think eventually they're going to be drafting a quarterback. Not now, though, and I think they're a team that's going to be getting those pieces fit around who they ultimately end up having as their true kind of long-term successor to Matthew Stafford. And I think getting Sewell here obviously makes a ton of sense. And a guy that I still considered really highly at number five and even at number six as well.
Well, I was going to say, they have Hawkinson at tight end. So the Pitts thing, I get it. You pick up players wherever you can pick them up. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're not necessarily. And that's what I would question with the Sewell thing. One thing I would say is I could see them picking Pitts, even though they have Hawkinson. I mean, I could see them going wide receiver. If Devonta Smith is there, I think that would be the choice for them, knowing maybe that they have to replace, you know, Galladay. You know, they've got all this stuff. They've got to figure a lot out wide receiver. You know, Marvin Jones isn't there anymore. Pretty much a new group at receiver for them. So I could see them going that route, but I don't know. Like, that's – I think the Dolphins – I mean, I think the Lions are going to be one of those that are really – I think no matter how the board falls – I feel like they're going to be one that's – it may be hard to kind of know which direction they're going to go in. Although, if Sewell's not on the board, I think it's probably – you know, let's say Pitts is there or Devontae Smith. I think it's obvious that they're probably going one of those two guys for me. But I don't know. Like, and that's the thing. It's like Pitts falling this far is surprising for me. But I don't know. This is just how I think I would do it if I was the Lions, even though I think there's going to be a big push – From the fans' perspective, for the Lions to take one of those sort of top guys like that, offensive explosive type guys like that. So that's a tough pick for me. That's certainly been the toughest I think of this person so far. So all right, we wrap it up here with our 1 through 8 choices with the Panthers, with a very a very talented player still on the board. Though I don't know, we'll see if Dylan goes there.
Yeah, it's a. I'm going to go through just the thought process of things that could have changed depending on picks earlier. Now I'm looking back at it. Say that we went Mac Jones at number 4. Say I ended up doing that instead of Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I think at number 6, that would have been a spot where the Dolphins could have traded not too far back with a team like the Broncos in terms of still being able to maybe get Smith, who at number 6, I do love just the idea of him in Miami, and maybe that's part of it's something that's been in my mind for a while, imagining him in a Dolphins uniform. So I feel like, though, they could have had an opportunity to still get him by trading down, but here we are now with the Panthers falling to number 8 with, and it's, it's a team that I think other, and at that point, teams may have even looked at Carolina as a spot they could have traded up to, and even right here, it's like other teams I'm sure would love to get Pitts if they could, and it's a situation where they could be trading back at this spot. A team that I still needs, I think, a lot of the fits that, at this point. I think if Sewell had been here, I think I probably would have just ended up going with that. I still think Rashawn Taylor could be a good option here in terms of what they need on their offensive line. Rashawn Slater. But, man, at the end of the day, I think they're just going to look at this as like, this guy could end up being one of the top, a tight end along the lines of Travis Kelce and George Kittle and Darren Waller, and that level of playmaker. And it's a rare thing. As much as this class is one of the deepest receiving classes, again, after another deep one last year, he arguably could end up being the best receiver out of the group and at a more premium spot. So I think Carolina is all about getting playmakers, all about finding, and it's just another weapon for Sam Darnold, another weapon for Matt Rhule and that offensive, just as they continue to readjust and kind of build this thing on the fly. I think they're going to look, is this a great spot for a lot of positions they could address, but they probably didn't think Pitts would quite get here. And again, in an alternate mock draft here, we might have had someone trading up to get Pitts at number 7 or something if Sewell was gone. So,
or the Falcons take him at 4 if there's they decide not to. I think that's an option, too. So
there's a lot of different scenarios here where the Panthers don't even have this as an option. So I think in this one that we were into here, I have a hard time not seeing them looking at Pitts and being like, wow, just imagine. I think Matt Rhule's running to the board, and like you like to say, in terms of thinking about all the different things you can scheme up for him and how much fun that'll be in Carolina. So, Pitts to number 8 for the Panthers.
Yeah, I think that – I don't know. Like, the Mac Jones is the only other one, but I think this is your top 8 here, unless we have one of those trades. Like I will say that I don't know that I see anyone else moving into these top 8 spots in terms of player wise. Again, unless it's Mac Jones and there's a trade with the Broncos and the Dolphins or someone like that. because that will be our next choice when we do the next one. Will be the Broncos at number 9, and that's where I think things get more interesting because obviously there's a player we've talked about a lot that has not been drafted yet. And, you know, do they decide to go that route or, you know, do they do something else? And so it's going to be interesting, man. I like doing this because, as we said, there's so many different scenarios that could play out. And, you know, it's something literally as simple as the 49ers picking Trey Lance. Like that would, you know, that starts a domino effect. Or if they pick Mac Jones and then maybe the Patriots are like, you know what, we don't want to move up for any of these guys. Or something like that, or they're like, you know, we think we can wait longer if Mac Jones is still there. And so you run through all these scenarios. There's no way to completely accurately predict it, but it's always fun to give it a try. So there you go.
It's crazy to think about all the, like you're saying, though. Yeah. It's like all the little kind of butterfly effects that can have such a dramatic impact. And I think that's what's fun about this draft in particular. Like there were guys, I guess, like that last year, but it did feel not quite so just completely up in the air in terms of the amount of teams that want quarterbacks that are kind of in those mid rounds and different, just one pick different really alters, not just what we do, but obviously what's going to actually end up happening. So it's going to be crazy, man. I'm excited. And it'll be fun to keep doing this in the next few weeks.
And what if it's not the Patriots or the Broncos trading up? What if it's someone we haven't even talked about, right? Like it could be someone out of left field and then all of a sudden that changes things too. So there's so many different dynamics here. I think that could come into play. And we say this all the time, but I think this could be one of the most fun sort of top 10, top 12 we've seen in a while in the draft, just based on knowing that there's so many quarterbacks that are going to be taken. And then you have these guys we talked about with Chase, Sewell, Pitts. You're thinking these guys in any other year, maybe top 3 picks.
Yep.
And potentially now, you know, they could all fall a little bit further than that. So that's going to be fun. And this is fun as always, Dylan, but we'll have lots of coverage, of course, on the draft, over Clutch Points, everything else going on over there. Let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, clutchpoints.com to the NFL section. We've had a ton of stuff over the weekend of, you know, ideal picks for all these teams and with these top picks. We'll continue to have a ton of draft coverage over the next couple of weeks. You can find it in the Clutch Points app as well in the NFL section. You can watch follow all NBA games, MLB games in the Clutch Points app and listen to us in the app and on the website. And excited to just keep this rolling. Still, it's full on draft season now, and it's all the rumors. We'll have more information by the time we record the next 8 picks. Who knows? We're going to have, for all we know, someone will have already traded up into the top 10 again. So it might throw things off, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah, the Broncos are officially on the clock, but maybe not. We'll see. Maybe they're not. Maybe we have to do a first here where we're picking for a team that we've already picked for. Maybe the Dolphins move back by the time and we're having to rearrange everything. So we'll see. But, yeah, check everything out at Clutch Points. As Dylan said, we'll be back here on the next episode with our picks for 9 through 16. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, you can find us there. And thanks, as always, to the fine folks at Blue Wire for all that they do. And thank you, as always, for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish Pass Podcast.